When I read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and Isaiah was 700 years before the cross, describing that event of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, Him taking our place, Him being our substitute, Him paying the sin debt for us, Him paying the price for us that we could not pay. And when I look at the cross, I see myself. I should have died there. He died there for my sins. He took my place. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Amen? We are healed through the suffering of Jesus Christ. We're made whole, and we're made free from sin because of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I like singing songs about the cross. You know, I just love singing songs about the cross because it's through the cross that I'm saved. I glory in the cross. I preach the cross. We preach Jesus and Him crucified. We try to lift up Jesus to a lost and dying world. He said, if I be lifted up, and He was talking about being lifted up on the cross. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And so we preach the cross. We sing about the cross. We glory in the cross. It's all about the cross of Jesus Christ. Yeah, we need to lift up Jesus before a lost and a dying world. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. And when I sing about the cross or preach about the cross, it stirs me on the inside because the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, means something to me. I mean, it's by the blood of Jesus that we are redeemed. We're redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He died for us. He died for the world. He died for you. He changed me. He transformed me. There's power in the blood. Amen? I mean, there's power in the blood to transform us, to change us. We live in a world so wicked, so perverse. But I'm telling you, the righteous blood of Jesus Christ will cause you to have the imputed righteousness that will change your life. Change your life. Make you anew. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new through the cross. Through the cross. I don't get excited about much nowadays, but I didn't get excited about the cross. Yeah, I'm thankful that Jesus died for me. Did He die for you? Yes, He did. Has it made an effect in your life? You know about the change, the transformation? I'm telling you, when you get cleansed by the cross, through the blood of Jesus, we're cleansed. Though our sins be as scarlet, they're made white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they're made as wool. I'm talking about being washed in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, by the cross. And you know, when we come to the cross, repenting of our sins, putting faith in Jesus Christ, in what He did at the cross, there's a transformation and a change that takes place in our lives where we are changed from being a child of the devil and we become a child of God. Yeah, we pass from death unto life. Jesus said when He was preaching while He was here in the flesh, He was declaring the precious truth. He said, he that heareth my words and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Amen. I'm talking about being born from above. I'm talking about being quickened to the Spirit. Amen. Yeah, though you're dead in trespasses and in sins, He has quickened us. He's made us alive, and we sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, all because of the cross. Yes, He is our El Shaddai. He is our Jehovah Jireh. He is our kinsman redeemer. He is our fortress. He is our high tower. He is our refuge. He is our all in all. He that was and is to come. He is King and Lord. Amen. He's Lord. He's Lord of our lives. He went to the cross. Yes, yes, He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, the Father hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, everybody say Jesus Christ. At the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow of things in heaven, of things of the earth, things under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That's the one I'm serving. He's Lord.
He's Lord. He's head of the church. He's head of all principalities and powers, even the rulers in the dark places. He's head over them. He's head over Satan. He's head over this world. He received the deed to this world. He was able and worthy to open the book and look, open the seals and look thereon. Why? Because he is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He was the Lamb that was slain for us. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He owns this world. He's the governor of governors. He is the president of presidents. He is king of kings. He is Lord of lords. And it's all because he went to the cross. He is worthy to receive the highest honor and the highest glory. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our glory. Yeah, let's glory in the cross. Amen. That's glory in his name. I'm glad you're here. I'm sorry I got so fired up. But I'll tell you what, that song's true. I read the scriptures and I read about his death. And listen, the cross, this is the apex of human history. The cross is the apex. It is the center of the universe. It is the center of civilization. It is the center of human history. Listen, folks, all things unfold in relationship to Jesus Christ because he went to the cross. He died and purchased this world. Amen? Amen? Not just purchased us from sin, but he purchased this world. He's been given a kingdom. Amen. A kingdom. A lot of people get confused about the kingdom. The kingdom existed before Christ came, but he brought it to the earth. He brought the kingdom of God to the earth. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. He rules and he reigns, and he's going to put every enemy under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. He holds the keys. Amen. He says, I have all power, all authority in heaven and earth. He said he came out of the grave with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He owns our lives. He controls our destiny. He controls our death. One day he will open the graves and the graves will burst forth. Amen. Yeah. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. We which are alive, remember, he called up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We have victory, amen, amen. Through Jesus Christ. Yes, the Bible says how he's going to come back with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, the trump of God. How we read in the scriptures that we that are alive are going to be changed in a moment, a twinkle of an eye. This corruptible will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. Listen, I'm telling you, the Lord's coming. And we're going to come out of the graves and we're going to say, oh grave, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? I tell you, there's victory over death in Jesus Christ. Victory over death, amen. We're alive through him. We live. He said, because I live, you live also. Because I have joy, you'll have joy also. Because I love, you have love also. I'm thankful this morning that I know something about the power of the cross. Power to change lives. If this world is ever going to be changed, it's going to be changed through the cross of Jesus Christ. If your life is ever going to be changed, it must be changed by the power of the cross. Wow. All right, I need to stop. If I can. Are you on your way to heaven? Yeah. Yeah. Think about what Jesus has done for us. Wow. I mean, look, folks, if you're putting your stock, if you're putting your trust, if you're putting your confidence in this world, you're putting your confidence and trust in a pipe dream. This world is going to melt with fervent heat. It's going to be destroyed upon the coming of the Lord. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord is coming, folks, which the heavens will be on fire. Bible says that when He comes, that the stars are going to fall from heaven. The moon is going to be turned to blood. The sun is going to be turned as black as sackcloth of hair. The Bible tells us that the sky is going to roll back as a scroll. And all the chief men and the great men, the presidents, the rulers of this world, even the small people of this world, they're going to be running to the caves and the rocks and cry out to them, "Fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb." Listen, Jesus is coming. He's going to take us out of this world. Amen. He's going to come and get His people. Folks, the bridegroom's coming. He's going to take us out. Praise God. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasure is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Folks, we're putting way too much confidence, way too much trust in this world. Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove or put on display what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. We need to show this world there's something more to this world than the world. There's the world to come. Heaven to go to. There's a heaven to go to. Amen. Listen. If you're here today and you've never been saved by the grace of God, you need to call upon the Lord. You need to repent of your sins. You need to put faith in Jesus Christ. I was thinking this morning while I was in the bathroom, you know, I'm becoming more and more convinced that the Lord is going to come back in my lifetime. In my lifetime. In my lifetime, the Lord Jesus coming back. I'm afraid we have grown apathetic toward the great and glorious promise that the Lord gave us. That I'm coming and I'm coming soon and my reward is with me. That's what He said. I'm coming and I'm coming soon and my reward is with me. We've got so wrapped up in the world, we've lost sight of the fact that the Lord Jesus is coming. He's coming. And people need to get ready. You know, He told His church to always be ready. Be ready. You don't know the day nor the hour. In the day that you think not, the Son of Man is coming with power and great glory. We need to be looking toward the hills whence cometh our strength. We need to lift up our heads and look up. Our redemption is drawing nigh. The Lord's coming back. This world is spiraling out of control. I mean, it's out of control. The world is out of control. We need to be looking for our deliverance, our Redeemer, our Savior, and He's coming. Our Lord is coming for us, and we need to be ready. I was studying this morning about religion without righteousness. I mean, we see it on every street corner. We see it in every city. We see it all over the world. We see it in our politics. It's crazy. Our political leaders, you know, are saying, "God bless planhood." Yeah. God bless parent planhood? Really? Have y'all watched the news? Have you seen these disgusting things that's going on? The selling of fetal parts, for goodness sakes. 500 million dollars of our tax money paying for that? Folks, listen to me. We are under the judgment of God. The blood is crying out from the ground, and God is coming with vengeance against us. Not to mention the new same-sex marriage thing that's going on. You guys realize that insurance companies are underwriting, re-underwriting churches where they will not cover us in a lawsuit concerning same-sex marriage or homosexuality? Do you realize the church is out on its own now? Y'all realize that? We have no protection. Listen, we put too much trust in religious liberty rather than the return of the Lord. We're going to go through persecution. It's coming, folks. Persecution is coming. In the Sermon on the Mount. Y'all remember me preaching that last week? Huh? Week before last, rather? Remember that? And the series of things that unfold? What was verse 10? Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteous sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Persecution is coming, and we need to be ready. Need to be ready. We need to be united. We need to be abounding in the love. Listen, you know, I want to say this. I read a lot of evangelical blogs and literature, and they're saying, well, we need to be compassionate. We need to be kind. We need to be receptive and all these things. And I'll tell you what, the best thing we can do is preach unto them the judgment of God. Amen. That's the compassion of God. That's what John the Baptist preached. Judgment is coming. That's what Jesus preached. That's what all the prophets preached in the book of Isaiah in the 5th chapter. It says, woe unto those that exchange good for evil and evil for good, light for darkness, darkness for light. Those who change up what's white and black, black and white. Listen, my friends, there's a massive confusion going on in our country, and we need to be aware of the fact that these things that our government is standing against is opposing the things of God. It's a rebellion against God, against His church, against Scripture, against the Holy Spirit, and against the people of God. Time we rise up, amen. Time we rise up. And we stand against the wrongs that are in the world. We need a church that's strong, amen. I mean, we need a church that needs to stand strong in the power of His might. Our world is coming unhinged, folks. Have you noticed? Coming unhinged. We're more worried about Cecil the Lion. For goodness sakes. Well, this is crazy. A judge ordered that these videos concerning the strategic crushing of the head to preserve the vital organs of a fetus so that these folks can buy a Lamborghini, for goodness sakes. Really? Doesn't that shock us? What's going on in our country? You know, there's an attack, an all-out attack right now against the family. God said that He has set the satire in the family. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Psalms 127, amen? Heritage from the Lord, a blessing from God. Destroying the blessings of God that are being given to this nation, given to this country. I'm appalled. I'm offended. I want to preach against it, folks, if they'd have put me in jail. And folks, that day may be on us very soon. The Supreme Court decision changed everything. Now, abortion is a strike against motherhood. Same-sex marriage laws that are now implemented, it is an assault against the family. See, the family is a sovereign unit devised and designed by God to keep out corruption. Man, I sit down with couples all the time in my premarital class. And, you know, I tell them, I say, look, this is your own little sovereign unit right here. You can keep stuff out. Okay? You can keep this as a sacred place. You know, this is a place that could be, this is your own castle. Okay? But see, the devil is trying to destroy everything that God has created. Before the fall, there were two institutions. One was the Sabbath. God rested on the seventh day after He created this world. And the second one was the creation of Eve and the establishing of marriage. God did that for our good and for our well-being. That we might prosper in peace. That we might project righteousness. That we might grow in peace and righteousness. And provide a perfect environment for the stability of children. Amen. You know, we're about 50% now where most children 50% of the children are born without married parents in this country. Crazy. It's an attack against the home. It's an attack against the family. Now, I believe the church ought to be a friend of the family. And a family of friends. Amen? Yeah, a friend of the family. We need to help families. We have a family conference that's going to be going on here soon. And we need to support that. And we need to encourage that. You know, the devil is doing everything he can to destroy us, to keep us from fighting against the big issues, the major issues. There's some major issues on the horizon. And our country's in trouble. But folks, listen to me. Listen to me. God never promised the church religious liberty. Jesus, as was read in Sunday school, as our devotional, the thing he told us to be aware of was persecution. 15th chapter of John. It was read in our hearing. Jesus said they persecuted me and they're going to persecute you. They persecuted the prophets. They're going to persecute you. Tribulation and persecution are on the horizon. We got to stand strong. Amen. And we got to teach. I don't know how to do this. I really don't. We've had this reprieve for such a long time in our country. This period of rest. You know, in the book of Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he told the Thessalonians who were going through persecution and tribulation, he said, what you need to rest in is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me just read it to you. All right. I'm going to read it to you. You guys might as well sit down. I'm going to preach. All right. He said in verse 3, now this church in 2 Thessalonians, the Thessalonian church was abounding in love. They were getting stronger and stronger and stronger under the persecution and tribulation that they were going through. Here's the problem. Today the church is getting weaker and weaker. Come on now, let's be honest. We let the smallest little things destroy us, disrupt our unity and our love. He writes to his church, said, you're abounding more and more. The hotter the fire got, the purer they got. Amen? Remember when Jesus was talking about the sower going forth to sow in the 13th chapter of Matthew? Remember that? And he said there was some seed that fell upon the stony ground. And when he interpreted that parable, he told them, he said, the seed that falleth on the stony ground is the heart of a person who embraces the gospel. Oh, they rejoice in the gospel. But when persecution and tribulation come, they are offended by the word of God. I think it's about verse 21, 13th chapter of Matthew, something like that. So there's going to be folks going to leave if we stand on the word. Be prepared for that. I mean, this is where you fish or cut bait. Right here. Whether you stand up for righteousness, and we need a religion. And let me say this. Christianity always has been a religion of righteousness. Righteousness. We have a righteous Savior that gives us imputed righteousness. We're going to a righteous place, which is heaven. His kingdom is a righteous kingdom. His ways are righteousness. His doctrines and teachings are full of righteousness. The system of righteousness. But we have today this religion that mixes wrong with right. You can't praise or give thank God for Planned Parenthood knowing what they're doing. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. Just can't do that. We can't expect the blessings of God on our life and sing Amazing Grace and condone homosexuality. Now listen, folks, I believe homosexuals can be saved. Okay. But they'll have to turn from their unrighteousness. Amen. Yeah. I believe all these folks can be saved. The blood of Jesus, the grace of God. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. People can be saved. They can be delivered from this, but they will have to repent. Amen. Turn from their unrighteousness. Amen. I think it was Paul. He said, in the book of Corinthians. I think it's the 6th chapter, 1 Corinthians. He went through a list of sins. You know, adultery, fornication, thievery, lying, etc. He even included homosexuality and maybe even cross-dressing. I'm not even sure what he had all in there. Some of those things were included in there. And he says, such were some of you, but you were washed. Amen. Yes, we're going to tell them they can be washed in the blood of the Lamb. But we are not going to have a religion that mixes wickedness with righteousness. We're not going to have a church that commingles evil and good. Not going to have it. Light for darkness. We're going to have to stand up. Amen. Now, I've not talked a lot about the Supreme Court decision, but it changes everything. Listen, church, I'm preaching church this morning. The target, it's not about homosexuality. It's not about same-sex marriage. That's not what it's about. It's about destroying what God has created. Amen. Devil's always been trying to do that. What God has set in motion, the devil has tried to destroy the church. He's tried to destroy all those that proclaim righteousness. He's always tried to destroy the preacher and the prophets. He tried to destroy the apostles. He tried to snuff out the church. The woman that delivered the male child was persecuted. Amen. Always has been and always will be. It's about destroying the things of God. That's what it's all about. And there's an attempt, listen folks, there's an attempt to destroy the church and the principles that we hold to. And folks, we're going to have to hunker down. I'm trying to encourage you, okay? I see these little kids coming in here, and we're very blessed with a lot of little kids. We're so blessed. I visited some of the revivals around Brother Brown, and it's very discouraging. We're very blessed with a lot of kids. And I don't know what the future holds for them, but I know this. Like I preached Wednesday night, when they go through the fire, if they are on the Lord's side, the Lord will be with them. When they go through the flood, the flood shall not destroy them, because the Lord will be with them. Amen. I'm going to tell this generation all they need to do is cling to the Lord. Amen. Wait for His coming. All right, back to Thessalonians. I'm about done. He said, here's our problem. This reprieve that we've gone through, this period of rest, you know, like in the book of Judges. The people of Israel, there was like all the 7 cycles. And one of the cycles in Judges was a period of rest. And we have begun, the church has relied too much on our religious liberty rather than resting in the Lord. Are you with me? That's my message this morning. This church at Thessalonica was abounding in persecution and tribulation. Look at Thessalonians chapter 1. He says, so that we ourselves glory, we glory in you, in the church of God. Listen, folks, how the great cloud of witnesses, how that's out there, how that has gone on before us, how that has fought the good fight and kept the faith, how the martyrs that gave their lives for the church, how they're crying out for vengeance against those that try to set their destructive ways against the things of God, that cry out for vengeance. It's coming one of these days. Vengeance is coming against the evils that lurk, those that have tried to destroy the things of God, and those that have tried to destroy the church. The Lord Jesus is coming to take vengeance on those. But he said, you know, Paul said, I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. You're going through tribulation, and that's what he says in this verse. You know, I'm so proud of you. You know, you have patience, you have faith in all of your persecution and tribulation, verse 4, that you have endured. You've endured tribulation. You've endured persecution. You've been patient going through all of these troubles in your society. You've held on to the Lord. Folks, we need to hold on to the Lord. We need to put on the whole armor of God, and we need to stand, and having done all to stand, we need to keep standing. Standing in the power of Jesus. I don't know if you know it or not, but the greatest thing going out there in the world is the church. I'm glad I'm part of it. I'm glad I'm part of the body of Christ. Amen. Listen, children, the greatest thing going in the world is the church. The people of God. And what a privilege. What a blessing to be part of it. And so he says, you're abounding in love. You're united. You've gone through this tribulation, to this persecution, and you've done it with patience, holding on to the Lord. And that's what we're going to have to do. I have to hold on to the Lord. Things have changed in our country. You know, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the trickle down evil and its effects. You know, I read this past week a judge who said, I can't in good conscience. Of course, judges are called upon to perform civil unions. He said, I can't in good conscience perform a civil union. County clerks all across this country, Christian county clerks, they cannot issue, because of their conscience, because of their Christian beliefs, they cannot issue marriage certificates. Those folks are going to be called upon to resign. Righteous, we're talking about what little righteousness we had left in our political system exiting and then being replaced with what? People who share the same reprobate mind. And that's what it is. Read Romans chapter 1. God has given us over to reprobate minds. You read through the first chapter of the book of Romans. The first thing where the wrath of God is poured out against a society or a country is a sexual revolution. The second one is a revolution of homosexuality. And then you find that everybody, they're saying, I mean, the people that are in the highest offices that are supposed to be looking out for our well-being and interested in our good now possess reprobate minds. They can't think straight. And so, here it goes. This thing's been in the wings, just waiting. You know, there's been two major terrorist attacks on this country, and it wasn't by Muslims, it was by the Supreme Court. The first one was Roe versus Wade. The second one is the same-sex unions. And people, whether you realize it or not, we're going to end up being the target. I know these other Christians and churches, you know, they're not going to take a stand. It was seed on stony ground, amen? When the going gets tough, they're going to bail. They won't be able to get their cappuccino in the foyer anymore. To have their church. Because it's coming quickly. God's people are going to once again, in this country, go through persecution. If the Lord tarries his coming. I'm just telling you. If we stand up for what the Scriptures teach, if we stand up for God, if we stand on the Bible, the devil's not going to like it. It's going to be in opposition to the laws of this country. And I am not going to bow to Caesar. I am not going to bow to the United States. I am not going to bow to the federal government. I'm going to bow to my King, Jesus Christ. We've gone through this before. Just same old song. Daniel didn't bow. Mordecai didn't bow. Shadrach, Meshach didn't bow. No, they didn't bow. Paul didn't bow. John the Baptist didn't bow. Cost him his head, but he didn't bow. He said what was right and wrong. Amen. And, you know, Baptists haven't fared well at birthday parties. Apostle Paul didn't bow. Apostle Peter didn't bow. The early church didn't bow. As far as I'm concerned, the church of the 21st century is not going to bow either. Not here. Now, you know, you guys, if you differ with me, that's fine. You know, if you want to get rid of me, that's fine. I'll go on somewhere else and the Lord will bless me. I'm not worried about that. I'm going to stand for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Stand on what's right, what's moral. The Supreme Court has no right to legislate a morality that opposes Jehovah God.
Amen.
No right. No right. No right. And when laws contradict laws of nations and of courts of this country, any other country or nation, contradict the law of God, we stand with God. Children, I don't know if you realize it or not, but the world is unraveling all around you. The only protection, the only safe place there is in Jesus. He is a hiding place. He is a refuge. The Lord is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And if this world becomes unhinged, we have the Lord Jesus Christ with us. And you need him. He said, you got all this persecution and you're getting stronger and stronger and you're enduring. I don't know about you, but when the Lord comes back, and I'm telling you, I'm becoming more and more convinced. I know, because we put confidence in our religious liberty, it has rocked us to sleep. Listen, folks, the lullaby song has ceased. It's over. It's over. Time we wake up, and rather than putting our confidence in religious liberty, let's put our confidence in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, what a manifold token of the righteous judgment of God. See, the stronger we stand, the more we declare the righteous, and God's judgment is always righteous, by the way. He said that ye may be counted worthy of the king. We've got to stand in order to be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. The church has to stand in order to be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Got to stand. Got to stand for what's right. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote to young Mr. Timothy, and I read that. I'm going to tell you young preachers something. Same thing the Apostle Paul. You know, some of us older ones, we may not make it. I don't know. To the coming of the Lord. We got some in church here that's way up in years. But you young folks, listen to me. You preach the word. You be in season, out of season. You reprove, you rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Time will come when they will not heed sound doctrine, but will turn to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they'll turn their ears away from the truth and they'll be turned to a bunch of fables. Man, that's going on today, isn't it? You don't have to flip through the channel very long to find one. Or go to the Christian bookstore and find a book. How to be happy here. Listen, folks. Jesus promised us persecution here. We're not of this world.
Amen.
We're of the next world. And if our Savior suffered, servants are not greater than their masters.
Amen.
We also will suffer. He also wrote to young Mr. Timothy and he said that we would, those that live righteous, those that live godly, Those that live right. Those that are living according to the kingdom's principles. The principles of the kingdom. He said those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall. It's an absolute. You will suffer persecution. Nobody says. But you guys just keep preaching the word. You know. They'll turn their ears away from the truth. Turn to fables. But watch therefore. Endure. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Do the work of an evangelist. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep holding on to the grace of God that can change lives. The cross, the blood of the cross, that can change lives. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Endure that, those things. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Prove yourself to be a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the world, that you might be worthy, counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Paul said, "My time, the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight and I've kept the faith." And he said, "Henceforth is laid up for me crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge will give me on that day." Whoa, wow. Don't you want to hear those words? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Laid up for me, Paul said, is a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me on that day. And not for me only, but for all those who long and love his appearing. Amen. He didn't say long. I just added that, but you need to be longing for it too. Amen. Yeah. You want to hear those words? Well done. All right. You are counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing is the righteous thing that God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled. When we go through the trouble, when we go through the persecution, those of you that are in trouble, rest. Everybody say rest. Rest with us. See, Paul was in that boat too. He was going through trouble. He was going through tribulation. He was going through persecution. He said, rest. Oh, just rest with me. When the Lord Jesus... when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and they that are... They that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Folks, we need to keep preaching judgments. It's coming. Rest with us. The Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. All right, I'm done. Listen. We need to abound in unity. We need to abound in love. We need to abound greater and greater like the church of Thessalonica. We need to grow and thrive in these wonderful blessings that God has given us in knowing the Lord and being part of the Lord and being part of His kingdom and waiting on the Lord, resting in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's coming! 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment on all the ungodly. For all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all their ungodly communications. The Lord's coming, and He's coming with power and great glory. I'm glad I'm ready. Amen. 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 Glad I'm ready. I'm ready. Children, let me ask you something. Are you ready? Are you ready for the righteous judgment of God? Are you ready for the return of the Lord? I say this. I know you've been raised up in good homes. You've been taught what's right and wrong. You've been taught morality and etc. You've been taught what it means to have a Christian home. You've been sheltered. You've been protected. That family unit has kept the corruption out of your life. But listen, it's breaking down, and it's breaking down swiftly. And you need to be aware of the fact that destruction and calamity on the other side and great distress in our lives will await us if we don't hang on to the Lord. Got to hang on to the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, you can't hang on to Him. Man, if you're not saved, you're without hope. That's what the Bible says. If you're not saved, you're without hope. No hope. No protection. When you go through the fire, you go through it alone. When you go through the flood, you go through it alone. When you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you go through it alone. Praise God, there's a shepherd, amen, who died for the sheep. He died for you. Aaron, I don't know, get a song. Never have there been times like this. Things are rapidly changing all around us. Now look, church, you need to wake up. You know, I can't unite you. We need to be united in the Lord. Amen. These God haters, Bible haters, church haters, Jesus haters, that's what they are. That's what all this is. They hate morality. They hate righteousness. They hate Jesus. They hate the cross. They hate the gospel. They're gospel haters. That's what it is. It's an attack against the people of God. It's an attack against God Himself. What it is. It's a rebellion against a holy God. It started way back in Genesis. It's still going on today. It's going to worsen. Church, be ready. Be ready. Be ready. Children or adults that are here, you've never been saved by the grace of God, you better be ready. The Lord's coming. Amen. And the Bible says when He comes, He's going to come in power and great glory, and He's going to divide the sheep from the goats. Amen? Amen. He's going to divide the sheep from the goats. He's going to divide the lost from the saved. He's going to divide the righteous from the unrighteous. He's going to divide the repentant from the unrepentant. He's going to divide the believer from the unbeliever. He's going to divide the Christian from the non-Christian. He's going to divide the righteous and the wicked. Amen. He's going to cast the wicked into eternal destruction. All right. We're going to have an altar prayer. Aaron, get a song. I don't know. Stand to your feet. I'm done.
268.
I want us to come in this altar as we sing this song, and I want us to pray. I mean, I want us to pray for, I don't know, maybe it's too, our country may be too far gone. Let's pray for one another. Amen? Let's pray for the righteous. Let's pray for the church. Let's pray for the people of God. Let's pray for the people of the kingdom. Isn't that who we are? Let's pray for the goodness and graciousness that comes through the gospel. Let's pray for the power of the gospel. All that will, come to the altar. Let's pray. Sinner friend, if you're lost, you come to this altar. You need to pray. You need to get right with God. If you're not saved, you need to repent of your sins. You need to put faith in Jesus Christ. You need to crown Him King of your heart. Amen. Make Him your Lord. Trust Him. Cling to Him, run to Him for refuge and lay hold of eternal life. Get in the good way. Get in the right way. For the Lord is coming. Amen. It's coming in power and great glory. All it will. Sinner friend, listen to me. All down through the Scriptures, there have been these challenges by great men. Moses, Joshua. Remember what Joshua said? Choose ye this day who you will serve. Remember what Moses said? I set before you blessing and cursing.
Amen.
Life and death. Choose life! Choose life! That was the great prophet, leader of the people of Israel, Moses. Jesus Christ. He also did the same thing. All the gospel preachers did the same thing. The truth is set before you. Jesus said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, believe in me. Believe in me. If you believe not that I am He, you will die in your sins. The Apostle Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you can be saved. And even people in your home can be saved. Your family can be saved. Your children can be saved. But you've got to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I mean, over and over again, that challenge has been set before the people. Choose God. Turn to God. Look, some of you, listen to me closely. Some of you are acutely aware of just how wicked this world really is.
Yes,
amen.
Right.
You're way outside that little sovereign unit of the family. You're out there in the world, which is full of wickedness and corruption. You've seen it. It's all around you. You know how bad it's getting.
Yes, amen.
Some of us are kind of protected from all that. Some of our children, we try to protect our children from that, don't we?
Yes.
Absolutely. We try to keep that hedge up. You know you need Jesus. And you need Jesus today.
Yes.
We're going to sing this song. I'll tell you what you need to do. Look, if you don't have the nerve to come to this altar, you have no right to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? He said, if you can't confess me before men, I won't confess you before the Father. That's what he said. If you are a sinner today and you need the blood of Jesus applied to your soul to cleanse you and change you, you come to Jesus, you come to the cross, and he will fix your life. Give it meaning, purpose. I'm talking about eternal purpose.
Amen.
You'll become part of the church. You'll be kings and priests in his kingdom. Amen. Wow. With the holy angels one day. Wow, isn't that good? He'll pull you out of that smut, out of that mire clay of sin, lift you out of that and put you on a solid rock, and he'll establish your goings. Amen. Tell you what, time is short. Time is getting shorter.
Amen.
Lord's come. The dark days are ahead. The evil days are right upon us. And the only thing that will prevail is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let's sing. Go ahead. Somebody here lost. Anybody here lost and undone? You need me saved.